Bibles to the Psalm 34. I will read from the verse 1 of the Psalm. Psalm 34. And we're going to read from verse 1 of the Psalm. It's entitled a Psalm when of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. And verse 1 of the Psalm says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked upon him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want for them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come ye children, hearken unto me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious and his own infallible word. Let's just unite together, please, in a word of prayer. Our loving and our gracious God, we come to thee in our Saviour's precious name today, and we thank thee that we have a God whose ear is open to our cry. And our Father, as we rejoice in that today, we come to thee asking that thou wouldst come and bless and apply thy word to our hearts now at the end of this meeting. We want to meet with thee and want to hear thy voice. Want to hear thee speaking to us. And our Father, we pray that we might have minds that are tuned in and ears that are opened to the voice of God today. Come, our God, and bless and be with us. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. Amen. Now, I want to think of the phrase at the end of verse 8 there. I'll read the whole of the verse 8. It says, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed or happy is the man that trusteth in him." And turn over to verse 22, just down to the end of the psalm. It says, "None of them that trust in him shall be desolate." So I want you to see that the psalmist here is really speaking about the Christian and the happy Christian. Now, we are to have a life of joy. The Christian life is to be a life of joy. We have joy in believing. We have joy in trusting in Christ. And we can say that the joy of the Lord is our strength. I wonder today, are you a humbly grateful Christian or a grumbly hateful Christian? There are two attitudes that we can have. There is that attitude that has that deep down joy. And there is that attitude that is always grumbling about the things that are round about us. There are some sayings that are often used that Sometimes Christians say, I'm too blessed to be stressed. Or they may say, I'm too upright to be uptight. And we shouldn't use those phrases very glibly in any way, because there are circumstances and situations that God's people get into, and it's not just a matter of glibly pass them off. Sometimes circumstances are very hard, and we do get into situations that are very stressful. And the Lord has not promised us that all will be easy and all will be bright, and we cannot be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease. But even in spite of the circumstances and the happenstance and the things that take place around us, there is to be that joy and happiness that is in the thought, in the hearts of God's people. Blaise Pascal, the scientist and philosopher, the author of the celebrated volume called Thoughts, had a profound thought when he says that happiness is not in ourselves, but it is in God. And you see, the only way to have real happiness and joy is to fix our eyes upon the one who is above all. There are many things that will contribute to our happiness, our family, the affection of others. It may be doing good to others. It may be creative works that we're involved in or whatever. All these things, of course, in life will go to make up that attitude of happiness. But above it all, you see, above all these things in themselves will not bring the happiness that we need. We need to have our eyes upon heaven itself. And I want to tell you today, in the Word of God here, that God has said that His people should be happy. He says, the psalmist says in verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good, blessed or happy is the man that trusteth in Him. There are three things that God wants for His children. He wants His children to be holy. And that will bring a challenge to us today. And there's always a challenge when we come to face the holy life and the obedient life that God wants for us, because in very many ways we come short of it. But not only does God want us to be holy, but God wants us to be helpful. He wants us to live a life of service, to serve Him and to serve our fellows round about us, and to live a life of service. We're to be holy, we're to be helpful, but then we're to be happy. We are to have that life in His name, and we are to have, as His children, that joy that is about us. So today what I want to do is just bring a word of encouragement to us. There are times when we need the challenge of God's Word, and sometimes we need the rebuke of God's Word. But I want us to be encouraged today, and I want us to ask the question, as we think of what the psalmist has said, is, what are the grounds of this happiness? Why are God's people to be happy? On what grounds are they happy? And I think that we'll get something of the answer to that as we look in this portion of Scripture. We'll be able to see the reasons why God's people are a blessed or a happy people. And there are three things that I want you to see in particular in this psalm. The first thing is that I want you to see that the first reason why God's people are to be happy is that they have their feelings grounded. All their thoughts, all their feelings, and all their dealings are to be grounded in God. And if we have our thoughts, our feelings grounded in God, then we will be happy. Look at what we read in verses 1 to 3 of the psalm here. The psalmist says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. There's the happy man for you. He says, I will make my boast in the Lord. He says, he speaks about the praise of his mouth. He says, the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. There's a happy man. And I want you to see where his happiness is grounded. I want you to see the timing of this grounding, first of all. I want you to notice the little word all there in that text of Scripture. And that's a very important word there. He says, all, I will bless the Lord at all times.
And David is saying here, whether things are pleasant or painful, whether the sun is shining or the sky is clouded, whether it is a circumstance of joy for me, or a circumstance of help to me, or a circumstance of hindrance to me, he says, I will bless the Lord at all times. You see, he can see his heavenly Father, and he knows that all things are in his hand, and he may be planning the pathway ahead, but thank God here's a man who has his feelings grounded in the Father, the one who does not waver, the one who does not let us down, the one who was always there. And he says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. Maybe you know the story of the life of C.T. Studd, the great missionary. And there was a time when C.T. Studd left his wife behind in Britain and sailed off to go to the mission field in Africa. And at that time, he wasn't that well of a man. But he felt that God was causing him, or called upon him, to blaze a trail in Africa for the gospel. And he was going to leave his wife and his children. He couldn't bring them with him. And so he had to say goodbye to them. And his wife had the feeling and had the thought in her heart that this is the last time that she was ever going to see her husband alive. And in fact, that actually turned out to be the case. But Mrs. Studd, C.T. Studd's wife, on the morning that they were to be parted, her and her husband, she read, probably in the Daily Light, but I think it was in the Daily Light, but she read this verse of Scripture. And this verse became a comfort to her, even in this time of loneliness for many years. And she held on to this verse right to the time when she heard her husband had passed away. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. Now you think about that, losing your life's companion, sailing off to Africa, and wasn't just a matter of getting on a plane to go to Africa in those days. To live her life, the rest of her life, bereft of her husband, and yet she's able to claim this verse, I will bless the Lord at all times. And dear friend, we see here that the timing of the grounding is that it is at all times. No matter what may be the test, no matter how deep it may be. And sometimes we go through very, very deep valleys. But oh dear friend, if your thoughts can be established and fixed on him, then, dear friend, you will have a real blessing and happiness for your soul. So we notice the timing of the grounding. He says it's at all times. And then I want you to see the type of the grounding. What was it that the psalmist was grounding himself in? Where was he casting his anchor? Well, if you look at the psalm, it is quite clear. Look at what he says here in verse 1. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. My Lord shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. And you can see it time after time. He is to exalt the name of the Lord. He is going to make his boast in the Lord. He is going to praise his name continually. It is the Lord that he's looking to hear. And David spoke of making his boast in God. And we think of Paul and Silas, two of the outstanding servants of God. You remember how they were beaten in Philippi and thrust into the innermost part of the prison. And then their hands and their feet were put in the stocks and they couldn't move. And there was no way that they could get out physically, it seemed anyway. And what did they do? Did they get down under the circumstances? And then they began to lament that here they were and they were serving God and look at what was happening to them. Is that what they did? No, the Bible says they did a remarkable thing. They began to sing. They began to sing praises to God because their eye was not upon the circumstances and the difficulty was deep and it was they were in danger of being put to death or they were in danger of crucifixion. But the Lord was with them and they were able to sing. in the midst of their difficulty. I wonder if you're in difficulty today. Maybe you're thinking to yourself, it's too deep for the Lord to be with me. It's too difficult for the Lord to deal with my problem. Dear friend, there's nothing too hard for God. There is a river we think is uncrossable, and there's a mountain we can't tunnel through. Thank God, God specializes in things thought impossible, and he can do what no other can do. The type of the grounding, it's grounding in the Lord. And then there's the triumph of the grounding, because it's obvious here that the man here is heavenly minded, and he's able to overcome the difficulties. You know how often we're weighed down by the difficulties of life. How often it is that we are weighed down by the worries and the things that are coming along our way, and we spend our time worrying over them, and we spend our time trying to get ways round them. And all we need to do is put our hand in the blessed hand of God. And you know, here was this man, and he says, my praise shall be continually of him. You know, we can look to the Lord today, and we can look up, and we can look heavenward. And you know, we have many things that we can look to, but we thank God for the fact that we have a God in heaven who looks over all these things. So I wonder today, are you happy? Have you that happiness about you? There may be difficulties and circumstances that you face, but dear friend, are you looking to the Lord? There's a triumph in the life of the person who has looked to the Lord. So we notice here something of how God has made these people whose feelings are grounded. They're happy because their feelings are grounded in the Lord. But then I want you to see something else. They're happy because their fears are banished. Now look at how the psalmist goes on in the portion of Scripture. He says in verse 4, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Now, I want you to see now that the psalmist speaks about his fears. Before we're dealing with his feelings, maybe the circumstances, the pressures that were upon him, now we're talking about his fears. I sought the Lord and he heard me, and he says he delivered me from all my fears. Now I want you to think about the context of David's fear. Now David is saying here about the fact that he has fear. And you notice the psalm, how it is headed. A psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. And many of the commentators will say that this psalm was written at this time, about 1 Samuel chapter 21 is the record of it. And you remember how that David had to flee from his land, and he had to go to be with Abimelech. And just before this, you remember how the priests of Nob, the high priest there, he had given David the sword of Goliath. And now here is David going down into enemy territory, and he's carrying the sword of Goliath. And that would have reminded the enemy of the victories that David had in the past. And you remember how that David had to assume the place of being like a madman with Achish. And you remember how Achish said, lo, ye see, the man is mad. Therefore then have ye brought him to me. And David had to feign to be mad in order to get out of this situation. So he was in a very dangerous situation indeed. He was in enemy territory, and the enemy were becoming very suspicious of him. And here he was, and you see that he's in a context in which he has justified fears. It wasn't as if he's in a situation where his fears were unjustified, but he is in a very dangerous situation indeed, and we can see his fears. But not only do we see the context of David's fears, but I want you to see the conquering of David's fears. He says that he sought the Lord. It says that he sought the Lord, And the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. Now, do you notice the little word all again? We noticed the word all when we were looking at the fears or the difficulties that he had, and how that he would trust, bless the Lord at all times. Now it says that the Lord delivered him from all his fears. You know, we are filled with fears today. We have anxiety. The psychologist tells us about the anxiety neurosis that is gripping the country and the minds of people. And we have fears about the future. And we have fears about the unknown. We have fears about failing. We have fears about old age. We have fears about what's going to happen tomorrow or next week or in a year's time. We have maybe fears about retirement. We have fears about dark experiences, fears about loved ones, fears about friends. And an old man was asked what had robbed him of joy. And he said, the thing that has robbed me of joy down through the years the most is things that never happened. And how we can be filled with fears about things that are never going to happen. And yet we are so filled with fears today. But the Lord says of David here, or David is able to say that the Lord here was able to deliver him from all his fears. I'm glad today that we come to a God who is able to deal with our fears. Nobody else can deal with our fears. And men around us kind of deal with our fears, and we know that they're men, but we thank God that we come to the God who is able to deal with our fears. He's able to deal with those things, those situations. And what we need to do is put all these things in the hand of God. What did David say? I sought the Lord. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me out of all my fears. Have you brought that thing to the Lord? Have you brought that difficulty, that dark situation? Have you brought it to the Lord? And have you been content to leave it in his hands? He said, I sought the Lord and he heard me. We have the God who hears and answers prayer. The God who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. We see the context of David's fear and the conquering of David's fear. But I want you to see the cry of David's fear. Because we said here, what does he do? How does he enter into the victory over the fear? Or how does he obtain the victory over the fear that he has? Well, you can see it very clearly here. He brings it to the Lord. He asks God for deliverance from his fear. Look at verse 6 as well. Look at verse 4. First of all, he says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. And then look at verse 6. And again, this is underlined. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him. So the Lord hears him again and saves him out of all his troubles. So he's saved out of all his fears. And in verse 6, he's saved out of all his troubles. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? That the Lord is able to banish our fears and our troubles, to take them upon himself. And how does that happen? Well, we say it again, he sought the Lord. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have you brought it to the Lord? Have you brought it to his throne of grace? And here he was, emancipated from fear. And if you were emancipated from your fears and your troubles, dear friend, you'd have a happy life. There would be a happiness about you. And yet how we insist on carrying the troubles and the fears. The Lord gives us the insight here. He gives us the answer. David says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me. And yet we carry the fears and we carry these difficulties with us, and we haven't learned to put them at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the second ground then of God's people having a happy life is that our fears are banished. Are your fears banished today? Is there that fear that grips hold of you today, whatever it may be, maybe about the future, maybe about your family, maybe about your finances, whatever circumstance it may be, bring that fear to the Lord. So there's the second thing. We see that his feelings were grounded and his fears were banished. But the third thing I want you to see here, and this enables David to be a happy Christian here, a happy child of God, is his faults are cleansed. I want you to see how his faults are dealt with here, his sins are dealt with. And I want you to see that, first of all, there is a look. Look at verse 5. It says, they looked upon him, that's upon the Lord, and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. So here's a man that is able to bring his faults and his iniquities and his sins to the Lord, and the Lord hears him and saves him out of all his trouble. You remember the context here? David perhaps had been looking to Goliath's sword. Maybe he'd been looking to his own strength, for he had been strong in battle and he'd defeated Goliath in the past, and he'd been looking to these things. But now he learns to look to the Lord. And here's the testimony. It says, they looked upon unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. What a wonderful thing when the shame of our sin is able to be dealt with. And happiness is not found in pleasure, and happiness is not found in what we are, but happiness is found in the Lord. Lord Byron thought to find pleasure in the things of this world, but at the end of his life he wrote, the worm, the canker, and the grief are mine alone. We think of how Jay Gould, the American millionaire, sought to find happiness and riches, but when he died he said, I suppose I'm the most miserable man in the world. We think of how Lord Beaconsfield, the Prime Minister, tried to find happiness in power, in wealth, and so on. But he wrote, youth is a mistake, manhood a struggle, and old age a regret. Alexander the Great thought he could conquer the world, and he did, or the world that was known in those days. But having done so, he wept that there were no more worlds to conquer. Happiness is not found in things, and it's not found in this world. Happiness is to know the Savior. I wonder today, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Dear friend, what you need to do is look to him. If you're saved today and you're bowed down by the cares of this life, then just look to him. If you're not saved today, then the very first thing that you need to do is look to him. Look by faith. Look by faith and take what the Lord Jesus Christ has offered there on the center cross of Calvary. There's got to be a look. It says in verse 5, they looked unto him. Will you look unto him today? Will you look unto him? But not only did they look, but they were liberated. Look at verse 6 again. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. He's liberated there. There he was in the palace of Achish, the Lord of the Philistines, and he was, even in the midst of all his difficulty, in the midst of all his danger, the Lord was delivering him, and the Lord had stepped into a situation. It says in Psalm 32 across there, and remember the man David there who's writing had said, but he says in the opening verses, happy or blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed or happy is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. So thank God today that if your sins are pardoned, you can be happy. It's a happy thing to know that you have the God of heaven in your heart. A happy thing to know that you have a home in heaven. A happy thing that you're going home to be with Christ, which is far better. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. Dear friend, have you that happiness today of trusting in the Lord? That happiness that you have your fears allayed, and that your faults, your sins, are cleansed in the precious blood of the Lamb. But there's a fourth thing I want you to see. I said three things at the start, there's four. There's a fourth thing that I want you to see that makes the people of God happy. And that is that they are fully answered. They are a people to whom the Lord gives answer to their prayers. Look at verse 15. Look, we have verse 6, and we've quoted that. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him. But look down now, look at verse 15. It says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Look at verse 17. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. So thank God that we have a God who delivers us out of troubles, but a God who hears our cries. We can bring our troubles and our difficulties to him at the throne of grace in prayer. Many years ago, someone came to Francis Dixon, the preacher, Pastor Francis Dixon, and he said, I want to see you. And Francis Dixon said to him, well, he says, I certainly see you if you want to come and speak to me. We'll arrange a place to come. He said to him, how much time do you need? And the man says, well, I need quite a bit of time because I really want to explain out to you all the circumstances I'm in and the difficulties and how it has arisen and so on. I really want to take time to give you the whole picture. And Mr. Dixon said to the man, he said, that's fine, he says, I'll see you. But he says, first of all, can I ask you a question? He says, have you ever brought your difficulty to the Lord? And the man said, well, no, he said, I haven't. And Mr. Dixon said to him, well, he said, I would suggest to you, first of all, he said, I want you to go and pray about this matter and bring it to the Lord at the throne of grace in prayer. And he said, if after that you're still in difficulty and you want to see me, we'll certainly arrange a time for you to come and see me. And that's fine. And the man went away and he said that we'd pray about the matter. And after a while, Mr. Dixon saw the man. And he said, how are you doing? You still want to see me about that thing? The man says, no, he says, things are going fine now. Everything's okay. I don't really need to see you anymore. And the answer was that he brought the thing to the Lord. And the Lord had met his need. And I suppose I'm repeating myself a little bit here in the sermon, but I want you to realize today that the first thing that we need to do is bring our worries and our difficulties to the Lord in prayer. The happy man, the happy woman, is a person that the Lord hears their prayer. And the Lord answers their prayer. And again I say to you, tell me, dear friend, you're filled with troubles today. Have you brought them to the throne of grace? Have you brought them to the Lord? And this psalmist here, David, was able to face all these things. And as I said to you, he's not in a happy situation in the sense that everything in the garden is rosy and it's a time of blessing. He's in danger here. He's in a very sticky situation in that he's in the enemy's camp. And he has to face the danger of all these things around him. So the circumstances are difficult. And yet, even in the midst of the difficulty of the circumstances, he's able to say, I will bless the Lord at all times. And in verse 8 he says, blessed or happy is the man that trusteth in him. Are you a happy Christian today? Have you learned to bring your burden to the Lord and leave it there? Oh, that we might learn that lesson today, and that we might put all our problems and our perplexities in the hand of the God who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. May God write his word upon our hearts for his name's sake. Let's just bow, please, in a word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we thank thee for the opportunity of coming to thee. We thank thee for thy precious word. And our God, we thank thee that blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. We thank thee for the happiness that there is in the child of God. And we pray that thou wouldst come today and that thou wouldst meet with us and that thy blessing might be upon us. And, O God, that thou wouldst come and shut us in with thyself today. We need thee and we need to hear thy voice. And we pray that thou wouldst continue to bless us and meet with us. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we ask these things. Amen. Amen. Can we turn to the hymn 314 in closing, please? My